Raise the floor. Told us we're going to have to get a bigger table, I think. Huh? Raise the floor. Guys, have a good week? Really? That's good to hear. Was it quite as hot as normal, maybe? And praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. That's the thankful thing. And praise the Lord for that, yes. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's just go and see what He's got for us this morning, all right? Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne. We are here to learn about You. We are here to hear about You. We are here to know You more. Oh, Father, just speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what You got to give to us this morning, Father. Father, I will be an open, willing vessel, Father, to be used by You. Just bring this out, Father, that I can understand it too. Father, in Your precious and Your holy and Your wonderful name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So you had a good week, huh? Praise the Lord. Guys, look at the bulletin this morning. I had Julie do a little something different. If you look at that, see how the verses of Scripture are laid out there? So you can kind of make notes on there. Because sometimes when I'm trying to write the verse of Scripture and write what I want to remember about the verse of Scripture, I get messed up. And I write too fast, then you can't read it. I can't read it, which is bad. So I thought we'd try that, see how it works for you. But the message title today is, Are You an Image Bearer? Whose image do you bear? And the reason I started this last weekend, I got to go to a birthday party. My dad's second cousin's wife had her 82nd birthday. And I hadn't seen those cousins for like 30 years. They don't come around. They're okay. They got a lot of money, so they don't come around me because I don't have a lot. So I don't see them very often. But there's several aunts that we go there and we see, and I know them. And every time they see them, they go, "Oh, you look just like your dad." You know what I'm saying? You ever have that? You look like your mom, whatever. And my one aunt, she goes, "You look just like John Denver." And I said, "Isn't he dead?" Yeah. She says, and then she tells the whole story about how he died. It's the same thing every time. You know what I'm saying? They're old, so you kind of expect that. You go along with it. But I thought, it kind of got me thinking about this image. I never had anybody come up to me. Maybe you have. I never had anybody come up and say, "You look just like Jesus." You ever have that? I never have either. No, and I thought, why not? We're supposed to be an image bearer of Christ, right? We're supposed to be more like Him, more like God. Now you have people come up and say, "You're a Christian, ain't you?" Yeah, that's cool. But I never had anybody come up and say, "You look just like Jesus." Huh? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Would. So it got me thinking. I was looking in some stuff. I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 2. We got some stuff to look at this morning. And I hope that this all ties together because I told Julie this sermon title and I gave her these scriptures. And then the Lord, at 2 o'clock this morning, "Really? I'm sleeping. Really?" And it's interesting because I woke up wide awake. Wide awake. And it's like, if you want to learn something, you better get up. And I thought, man, this feels really good just to lay here. I got up. And the Lord showed me some things, and it was pretty cool because He tied some things together that I wasn't sure how it was going to work. But and 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. In 15, 16, 17, I want to read this to you because my second cousin, bought his wife a 1950 Mercury. It's cut, the top is lowered, it has hydraulic shocks on all four sides. It's got a 455 Oldsmobile, okay ladies, this is for the guys. It's got an Oldsmobile 455, stage one engine in it, with triple deuces. It's got three two-barrel carburetors. I mean, this thing is decked out. The guy signed the dash. It's fancy. It's purple. I mean, it's cool. He bought it for his wife for her 82nd birthday. What's she going to do with that? I mean, come on. She said, "I can't see out, so I have to raise the rear shocks up and I can see over the hood." Really? So stuff, okay? We get caught on stuff. And that's kind of where this is going here in 1 John chapter 2. It says, in verse 15, it says, "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world." If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and that's the craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, 1950 Mercury, huh? And the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. All that stuff. These do not come from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17, and the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate lusts, the desire of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides forever. Really? You mean all this stuff that I got? I got some cool stuff, right?
This is still on? Yeah, that works. But the cool stuff, the stuff we have, we think, boy, you know, and when you have kids and you got nice stuff, and they're going to break it, right? I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? When you have 9 grandkids in the house at one time, you don't put anything out that's breakable. Nothing. You don't have any fancy stuff hiding around anywhere. You don't have any ceramic stuff because it'll get broke. So, we don't look at stuff. And the reason I brought that up is because sometimes we get stuck on stuff, and that's not the reason we're here. This purpose-driven life thing is pretty cool. You know, I was looking at that, and it's kind of neat. You know, the first thing is, you know, not about me. Not about me. And then we go to the thing that says, you're not an accident. Isn't that cool? You know, God made you exactly the way you are for a given purpose, huh?
Does it work now, does it?
Oh, yes, sir. It does, really. It's a good thing to have a technical consultant like that.
Huh? Thank you,
Richard.
Appreciate it. Seeing God does little things like this, you drop your paper just to make you nervous. And you can't hear you. Isn't that cool? Huh? So we look at stuff, and we went to this, you know, you're not an accident. I heard a woman this week. I don't know, you know, it's Tony Evans' daughter. She actually played in War Room. She does some acting. She's a really cool singer. But she was talking about, she said, when she was younger, she said she always thought her nose was too fat and her butt was too big. She's just going all the stuff that she didn't like about herself. And she said, you know, when it came to this movie they wanted to do, she had the perfect look for what they were looking for. And I thought, you know, isn't that like God to make you the way you are? You're perfect for a job that he has. Isn't that cool? You're perfect. And this purpose-driven life thing, I keep looking at this and I keep going back to it, and this thing's pretty cool, but I think about that, you know, we get stuck on stuff, and really, what really matters? When something bad happens, when something really bad happens, what really matters? You know, I heard a story, and I've heard several different versions of it, but the gist of it is there was a gentleman who had a lot of money, had a lot of fancy antiques, he had a lot of stuff, big house, mansion, whatever, really cool. And his son had went away, I think, to the Korean War and got killed in the Korean War. And a guy brought him a picture. His son had got killed saving another man's life. And he brought him a picture of his son, and he kept that picture. He loved his son, he kept that picture. And the man eventually died, and they're going to have a big auction in his house, and he's got a lot of cool stuff. There are a lot of people there that are going to buy some cool stuff. He's got fancy, expensive stuff, okay? The auctioneer comes up, got a gavel in hand, and he said, okay, the first thing we're going to sell is a picture of the man's son. An old, tattered-looking picture, then gets a rough-looking frame, nothing fancy about it. He said, who gave me a bid on this picture? And everybody's like, we're not really interested in that picture. We want the fancy stuff. We want the stuff. We want the gold stuff. We want the fancy stuff. Nobody wanted the picture. And the man that had brought the picture to the father, he said, you know, I want the picture because I have the picture. He said, nobody wants to bid on the picture. He said, I want the picture. So he gives him the picture and he says, the auction is over. Like, what do you mean the auction? We got all this stuff. He said, the man said, whoever took the picture of the son got it all. The man who took the picture of the son got it all. Isn't that an awesome picture of God? He said, when you take my son, you got it all. Isn't that cool? And I thought, man, isn't that just like us to want the stuff? And we got all we ever need right there. We got all we ever need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We got it. Isn't that cool? The Lord gave me a lot of little notey notes. This is pretty cool. You will never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Wow. We don't like getting in that position, do we? We don't like to lose our stuff, right? We work hard for our stuff. We want to keep our stuff, right? God says, you know, I'm all you need. I'm all you need. Let's go to Philippians. Tried to keep it all kind of close here so we didn't get too crazy here. Let's go to Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 2. And I just wanted to read a couple things here because this kind of ties in. If we're supposed to look like the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm expecting someone to walk up to me and say, "Boy, you look just like Jesus," go wear a robe and get long hair and put some sandals on, is that what they're talking about? No, they're talking about what you. How are you? The person you are. How do you react to people? How do you, when somebody cuts you off, you want to take them out of the car and beat them after death? Is that the way you are? I've never been that way. I just lied. I lied in church. Can you believe it? I lied. Gosh. Seen a bumper sticker this week. I thought it was pretty cool. You guys all seen the bumper sticker that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." You seen them, bumper stickers? I saw one this week that made me chuckle. I chuckled. It says, "Tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk." That's pretty good. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. That's totally off the subject. But I seen that. That made me chuckle this week. Okay. In Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 5 this year. It says, "Let this same attitude and purpose, it's the humble mind being you which was in Christ Jesus." And the Amplified says, "Let him be your example in humility." Wow. Who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, he possessed all that God was. He was God. He was God. Did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped, but stripped himself of all privileges so as to assume the disguise of a servant. And that he became like men and was born a human being. Can you imagine what it took for God to humble himself to be us? He's God! I've been hearing this week, there's been a preacher talking about the creation and how this all happened. It boggles your mind to know how intricately all this stuff works. And he touched on something, and I remember this, and I'll share it with you. You know, DNA is something new that's came out, you know, not too long. We've got DNA, we can check your DNA. Everything that you are, how you look, your hair color, it's in your DNA, right? Every cell in your body has DNA in it. Pretty cool. And they said if you took the DNA from one human being, they didn't say how tall the guy was, I don't know if he's a short guy or a tall guy, didn't matter. If you took the DNA from one person and you linked them together, DNA, it would stretch from here to the moon 1.5 million times. What? You mean the DNA in your body is that long? It's huge! They said if you took a typewriter and you typed on paper every DNA, typed it out of your body, it would fill the Grand Canyon 50 times. I don't know if you've been out there, but that's a really big hole in the ground. 50 times. God, the God who just created you, humbled himself to be just like us. Wow. Verse 8, "And after he appeared in human form, he abased himself even further, and he carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross." And I didn't continue on this, but I'm going to read this to you because I read this morning and I thought, yes. "Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has exalted him and has freely bestowed upon him that a name that is above every name." Wow. For someone to come up to you and say, "Man, you look just like Jesus." Wow. That's something. That's saying something. That's saying something that they got to know who he is too. They got to know who Jesus is. They got to know the power of his resurrection. He is Christ, God. And they can see that in you. Wow. Pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Let's keep going. Let's go to Galatians. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, verses up there. What does Galatians chapter 5 say? Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. It's on the board. It's on the wall. It's really big over there. See that? Look at that. Galatians chapter 5. What's it say? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this there is no law. How many of those have you done this week? How many? One? I know you've done one. Look at Bill. He's done one. Look at that. I know he's done one. Love, joy, peace. You know, I've always struggled thinking, you know, man, I just didn't love that guy enough. Or, man, I didn't have peace about that. Or, man, I wish I had a little more patience, you know. You ever think about that? And, you know, we had people say, don't pray for patience. God will get you some, you'll get some patience. You'll figure out how to learn on the patience thing. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I've seen this week that I never really saw before? Let me read this to you, Amplified. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. Really? You mean when my love shows out, that's the Holy Spirit working? You mean when I got joy and I shouldn't have joy, that's the Holy Spirit shining out? You mean I got peace and patience when I got some of the stuff going on and I shouldn't be? It's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And you know what? It's who He is. It's His job. It's His job. His presence inside you. How much are you quenching the Holy Spirit? When that guy cuts you off, you say, boy, have I got a hold of that guy. Huh? How much? And you know, that guy may have a bad day. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what people are going through until you know what people are going through. Huh? You just don't know. And when you talk to somebody, I think it's funny. I've been noticing a lot. I say, how you doing? Okay. It's like, what's all that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can tell. You can, and that's why I'm not a texter, guys. I'm not a texter. I'm not a Facebook guy. I got a face that I put in a book, and that's where it goes. I don't have any of that fancy stuff. When I talk to somebody, I like to at least talk to them on the phone or face to face, and you can tell by a person's appearance, you can tell what's going on. Something's going on. You can talk to them. I really like that. I think it's a lost art in the world today, knowing how people react. Because you go to Walmart sometime, and I've told you, walk around. Those people are miserable. They got stuff in Walmart. They got all kind of stuff in Walmart. There's food, there's clothes, there's games, there's stuff. They got it all. And they're miserable there. Try saying hi to one of them people sometime. You get a little quivered mouth thing sometimes. It's like, dude, you okay? You got a stroke or something? I mean, like, really? You can't even smile? You can't even say hi to another human being? Yeah, that's another story in itself. So, when we look at these fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is actually the fruit the Holy Spirit brings out in your life. So, if you're not seeing any of them, that's my problem. When I'm not seeing that, I'm thinking, man, I wonder why the Holy Spirit's not doing His job. Is He sleeping? What's He doing? No. The reason the Holy Spirit's not doing His job is because I'm not doing mine. I'm not getting closer. I'm not getting closer. I'm not looking closer. I'm not letting Him lead me. I'm not in His presence. It's the power of God. If you read on down through there, it says, if verse 25, it says, or 26. Let's read 24. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And the Amplified puts in there, if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. When I want to drag that guy out of the car and beat him to a pulp because he cut me off, I'm not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? When I get mad at something I really shouldn't have got mad about, we all been there. We've all been mad, right? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It's a command. You're supposed to be angry. Ooh, really? That's what it says. Be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. Anger is emotion. We all have that emotion. You get angry at stuff sometimes. You get mad at stuff. We have to be careful what we say and do in that situation. Sometimes you got to go, okay, take a minute and think about what you're going to say. Because by the, when you say it, it's not coming back. And I see people do this. They'll be mad, send a text. Man, I wish we would have sent that. Well, dude, it's too late now. It's already out there. So maybe you should wait a few minutes before you do that. Good rule of thumb. If you're mad, maybe go sit by yourself for a little bit. Go sit in the corner with your nose in the corner and say, okay, God, what did I do wrong now? Because, you know, he should be mad at me all the time. He should be mad. He should. He should be mad at me. I mess up a lot. I do things wrong a lot. But you know what? He's faithful. And he knows me. Let's keep going here. I want to go to Philippians chapter 3. Now, I don't think that's in your. But I was reading this morning, and I think this is a good thing for us to see. Now, this is Paul talking. We all know Paul. He's a pretty... You read back his history and what he was pretty high up. He'd be like the Pope, okay? I mean, he's that guy. You know what I mean, he had come from the right family. He had been trained by the right people. He was the Pope at this point, okay? He had a lot of stuff, a lot of power. And if we go to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gained to me, I have considered loss for Christ's sake. Wow. He had a lot of stuff, didn't he? Verse 8, yes. Furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. And the Amplified says the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Wow. Do you feel that way? That nothing you have really matters? He is all in all. You're all in all. Everything? And he says, and becoming progressively more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. And he amplified says, a perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. I'm talking to Julie this morning. What's it take for you to draw near to God? What's it take? What's it take? Starts with a T. Trouble. You know what I'm saying? If we didn't have any problems in this life, we wouldn't need God, would we? We'd be singing along, whistle while we work. Great day, nothing went wrong. Plenty of money in the bank, got no problems, right? Car didn't break down, we're good to go, right? God says, man, you haven't talked to me in a month. You haven't talked to me in a month. What's the matter with you? Matt? Oh, I got your attention now, don't I? Huh? That's what he does with me. We draw near to God when we have trouble, when we have trials, when we have tribulation, when we have stuff that comes on us that just beats us to the ground. And some days is like that, right? Some days is like that. But then you think, that really wasn't that bad of a thing. God's still in control. Sun's still shining. Birds are still singing. Bugs are still flying around. Nothing stopped. Huh? And we think, you know, maybe that wasn't as bad a week as I thought it was. Felt like it at the time. Let's read on here. It says, for his sake I have lost everything and consider it to be mere rubbish. In order that I may win Christ. Wow. Pretty heavy, isn't it? It gets worse. Verse 9. And that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands. And the Amplified says, the ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and right standing which comes by faith, by God, by faith. Paul, you go back and look at all the stuff this man suffered. I'm telling you, he had it. He had a lot of stuff he suffered. He was in charge of the churches, and can you imagine being in charge of like 20 churches? Holy cow, they got all kind of trouble them people do, right? They're people, they got all kind of trouble. He's beaten, he's shipwrecked, he's got all this stuff. And he has suffered that. He's in prison. You guys ever been put in prison? Praise the Lord, brother. Huh? Wow. The man's in prison for something. For saying, hey, I love Jesus and he's my Lord and Savior. And they come in the door and they lock us up and put us in prison. Wow. And it's not a 3-meal square a day prison either. This is like a dungeon, stinky, nasty, rat infested, probably, nasty. Huh? Nasty. And the man still says, you know what? Count that all junk for knowing him. Wow. He got a hold of something, didn't he? He got a hold of something. Let's read on. Verse 10. The Amplified, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, receiving and recognizing and understand the wonder of his person more strongly and more clearly. Wow. That stretches it out, doesn't it? You know what? I don't care about that junk. I want to know him more. Isn't that something? For a man to say that? For a person to say that? You know, I think people could have walked up to Paul and said, you remind me of somebody. You look like somebody I knew. Huh? You think? Because you know what? He got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got a hold of it. So who? What kind of image are you bearing? And I don't know how much time we got. In Hebrews 11, and we talked about that the last time I preached about the faith chapter. Faith chapter. If you go back at the end there, about verses 33 in that, it talks about things that people had to suffer. And we might as well look at it because I want to show you something. I was reading this week and it kind of made me... You ever laugh about stuff sometimes, chuckle that nobody else sees funny? I mean, I'm not talking about your own joke. I mean, I'm saying, you know, we all tell a joke and I'm like, that was lame. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I'm talking about something, you see, it's like that bumper sticker. It was like I needed that. Lord's like, that's pretty good. I like that. That's pretty good. You know what I mean? Well, here in Hebrews chapter 11, I was reading through this and I was just looking at things that was going on. And I want to read a couple verses here and I want you to see... Do we understand that God is not a genie in a bottle? Do we understand that when we have a problem come upon us, and you say, take it away, God! Take it away! And nothing happens. Nothing. It's like nothing happens. It's still bad. It's all messed up. It's bad. And it might even get worse. Do we understand that God is still working in that? You understand that God has a timing involved? He puts you on this earth at this specific time and date for this specific reason. You're here for a reason, right? I heard this a long time ago and it made me chuckle. I chuckle about a lot of stuff. I'm a funny guy. He's talking about Rick Warren. He wrote the book, Purpose Driven Life. And he's talking about gravity and things like that. I mean, gravity is a known thing, right? You fall off a roof, you're coming down, right? You're coming down hard. Huh? You jump out of an airplane without a parachute, you're coming down hard. You know what I'm saying? It's gravity, right? And he was saying, you know, this guy was saying, you know, Rick Warren was on top of a building, and he jumped off of it and said, God's going to save me! He said, there'll be purpose-driven guts all over the pavement. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. You don't tempt God, right? Say, I think if I jump off of this, God will make me fly. I can fly to a bird. Really? You might want to consult the Lord about that in prayer before you decide to do that. I'm just saying. He's capable. You know, that's the thing about God. He's capable. Isn't he? Do you believe that he can make you fly? Do you? I see a lot of doubtful faces out there. My youngest son, Nathaniel, was in the 82nd Airborne in North Carolina. I think I told you about this. He was jumping out. They jumped out of airplanes for a living, okay? You guys are stupid. They jump out of an airplane for a living. They jump. They jump out of a perfectly good airplane for a living. And they jump to the ground and hit the ground. That's what they do. That's what they do. They jump out of airplanes. He jumped out of an airplane. He's the last guy out of the plane. He jumped out, and his parachute did not deploy. Passed everybody going down. Had some difficulties. Hit the ground, no parachute. They say he hit the ground probably doing 65 mile an hour, what they said. Hit the ground doing 65 mile an hour. Tucked and rolled, stood up, walked away. He stood up and walked away. Now you tell me God can't do some pretty amazing things? So you can jump out of an airplane without a parachute. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can do it. Why? I don't know why. Why did God say, I don't know. I don't have a reason. I know that God has a purpose for his life. I know that God's hand was, obvious hand was there. You know it was. So when you look at all these people, the stuff they went through in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about in verse 33, it says, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, blessings, closed the mouths of lions, extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devouring of sword out of frailty and weakness, won strength, became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle. Some of them received again their dead, the resurrection. And then it goes into this thing. God's doing some awesome stuff here, right? Others were tortured to death. Refusing to accept release, offered on the terms of denying their faith, so that it might be resurrected to a better life. You mean to tell me if you had the choice, you know what, I want to kill you. I'm going to take a gun and shoot you right in the head. You're going to be dead in a doornail. But if you say you don't love Christ, we'll let you go. People didn't. They died. Why didn't God do something? Why didn't he do something? Because he's sovereign. The sovereignty of God means he is in control of everything. He's in control of everything. And it's his will. Period. And I read this verse. I was reading out through it. It says, oh, they killed him. Others had to, in verse 36, that others had to suffer trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting of offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. You ever saw a piece of wood with an old handsaw left? I've done that before. It's a slow process, isn't it? Could you imagine cutting somebody in half with a handsaw? Would that be painful? I'm just asking. I mean, would that hurt? I mean, I'm just saying. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? It's bad. Why didn't God take the teeth off the saw? I don't know. And I'm reading through this, and there's a lot of stuff here. And I came to a conclusion. I want you to go to Daniel. I want you to go all the way back to Daniel. And this hit me this week too, which is kind of cool. See, I'm not real intelligent. I'm not a smart fellow. So God has to show me things, and he has to show me things, and then he has to show me things, and he shows me some things. And he says, you're stupid, you're not getting it, and he shows me some more things. Huh? And I was back in Daniel, in chapter 3. Everybody, you guys all know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, what'd they do? They're just three guys, right? Young guys, they're probably in their teens, they figure. Young Jewish guys. Old king says, you know what? I'm going to make an image that looks just like me. I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to have this big band over here. Big band. And when it plays, you guys are going to drop down, and you're going to worship my image. Isn't that cool? Simple enough, right? And these three guys, these three young fellas, are like, we're not going to do that. So these three guys' friends probably go tell the king, didn't you say when this thing happens that they're supposed to worship your thing? He says, these guys ain't doing it. They ain't doing it. They're snubbing their nose at you. They ain't doing it. Huh? So I was back reading this thing, and so you guys know the story. What happened? They survived. God threw them. They got thrown into a fire, right? This fire, it says King Nebuchadnezzar, he made this fire 7 times hotter than it ever was before. And the guys, they wrapped these guys up in their cloaks and their turbans, and they bound them up in ropes, and they threw them in the fire. Now, check it out. The guys that threw the 3 guys in the fire died because it was so hot. That's pretty hot fire. You ever been around a brush fire, house fire? It's pretty hot. I mean, it's toasty. It's a marshmallow time. You know what I mean? It's toasty. Huh? And what happened? Nothing. They walked around that fire like, this is cool. I like it. Their bands fell off. They came out of that fire, not one smell of smoke on them. Not one singed hair. Nothing. And there was somebody else in there walking around with them. God showed up. They say that's the incarnate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of that was the Lord Jesus Christ showing up saying, dude, I'm here. Isn't that cool? So God stepped in, right? Let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I want to read. This is the talk between the king and these fellas. And the Amplified says in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, it's not necessary for us to answer you on this point. That sounds kind of, well, doesn't it? Verse 17, If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship your golden image, which you have set up. Sounds like they was kind of getting in his face, wasn't they? I read the message and I chuckled. The message says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. It's like, it don't mean nothing. You can think you're going to kill us, you're going to throw us in the fire, whatever you're going to do, it don't matter. We don't care. Nah, 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 nah. That's what I got. I read all that. You know what? God was able. They knew God was able. But if he didn't, I can jump out of an airplane with no parachute, and I'm probably going to die. Probably die from a heart attack just jumping out of the airplane. But I'm probably going to die unless God steps in. But if he doesn't, still not going to worship your gods. Isn't that a frame of mind we need to get in? When I was reading this image thing, you know, God does some miraculous. He does some miracles, guys. He does some stuff. He does some pretty awesome stuff. And then I go, why don't we trust him? These guys said, you know, and I can just see this. I mean, they're in front of the king. Be like you in front of Donald Trump. And I'll take that what's worth. You're in front of the guy. He says, we're going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'm going to nuke you. I'm going to put a nuclear bomb on you. Kill you. You're going to be dead. You're going to be so dead, they'll never find your parts. He's like, you know what, Donald? Yeah, it's not really necessary. I don't really need to talk to you about it. Ain't no big deal. Because you know what? If you kill me, God's able to save me. But if he doesn't, still not going to renounce him. Isn't that something? Can you get a hold of that? I thought to myself, I was like, you know, these 3 young guys, young men, young. How did they know that? How did they get a hold of that? I'm 50 years old, and I don't know if I would do that, you know? You think about that. We're going to throw you in a really hot fire, and that hurts. And we're going to burn you up. And we're going to like it. You ain't. I mean, somebody said that to you. What would you do? We just say, you know what? You can tell me whatever you want. Whatever, dude. You can do whatever you want. God's in control. I know he's in control. He's able to save me. But if he don't, I still ain't going to do what you said. Wow. That's pretty, in my mind, that's pretty impressive, guys. That's pretty impressive. Then it says, and I like it. Your threat, it don't mean nothing to us. And the message is, if you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from the roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up. And anything else you might cook up. Just keep thinking about it. Just keep thinking stuff. Anything else. Okay. But even if he doesn't, even if God does not show up and we burn to death, it won't make a bit of difference. He said, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. It just ain't going to matter. It wouldn't make a bit of difference, okay? We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the golden statue you set up. It ain't going to make no bit of difference. How do we get to that point? How do we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, get to the point that we can just trust Him? He's the rock. When you hit rock bottom, He's there. No matter what's going on, even on the days it doesn't seem like He's anywhere to be found. We have to come to that point where we have to believe that God is God. We have to come to the point that we have a purpose in this life. You and I are here for a purpose. You have a purpose. And that's what we're trying to figure out in Sunday school. We're trying to figure out, what is your purpose in this life? Our purpose is to glorify God. Les read it this morning. Praise to the praise of His glory. You are who you are. I'm a total idiot up here because of who I am, because of the praise of His glory. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to give Him glory because He's all there is. I'm nothing. I don't mean nothing. I don't amount to nothing. I'm nothing. I'm a big old fat zero. But with Him in my life, then I can say, you know what? I can have a little love. I can have some joy. That Holy Spirit thing, that peace, He doesn't even have to work at it. He's got it already. It's like an apple tree. Do you ever see an apple tree sitting going, I'm going to make an apple? Do you? No! It just sits there. It's like it's just a tree. It just sits there. It does nothing. It's just a tree. And then pretty soon you see these little things show up, and then it turns into it, and it's like, man, it's no big deal. It's just an apple. That's what I do. I'm an apple tree. Holy Spirit's the same way. It's what He does. It's what He does. His fruit is all those things up there. That's what He does in your life. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I got pretty excited. Even though the Lord got me up at 2 o'clock this morning, I thought, this is pretty cool stuff. Huh? This is cool stuff. And that's why it's nice when you're reading through this, the purpose-driven life has different versions, all different kinds of versions of the Bible that He uses for different things. And it's neat. I personally like looking at all the different versions just to see, just like the message there. Yeah, it don't mean nothing to us. You know? And that's it. When I read that, I can just see them guys like, it don't matter. Do what you want to do. It don't matter. Like, really? That's kind of scary. But that's the impression. And I thought, you know, we need to be more like that. We need to be more like, well, you know, if God, we're praying about this thing. I'm praying hard about this thing. And it doesn't seem like God does anything in it. No, you don't understand. I've been praying for this for 20 years. You don't get it. I've been praying for this for 20 years. And God has done very little. Very little. You know what? I see those little things. And I know that He's there working on it. And for whatever reason. And when I look back, I can say, okay, I know why that's still there. Because that's why I am who I am today. That's why you are who you are today. And you know what? Those people that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, they're miserable. They are so sick and miserable. They can go out and party every weekend and think they have a good time and come back sicker than a dog Monday. They ain't have it. They don't even know what fun is. They don't know what enjoyment is. They don't know what laughter is. They don't know what peace is. They don't know. You know what? You got an idea. You can actually share that with them. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before You this morning. I know You told me to shut up. I talked enough, and I thank You for that. Father, just that Your impression would be on each and every one here, that Your Holy Spirit would be powerful in their life, in their hearts, in their minds, strengthening them. Give them grace, Father, and Your powerful grace poured out upon them. The Father, they may know that You are God, and that there's nothing bigger, stronger, powerful, more powerful than You are. You are God. You have the name above all names. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that we can humbly stand before your throne this morning, Father, just looking to you, praising and magnifying the one who loves us. Oh, Father, thank you that we can just understand that you're God and you're in control. Father, I thank you for this time. I hope this impresses one people's lives, they can instill this in their hearts, use it in their life, that they can walk strong for you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. As the praise band comes forward, elders come forward, this is the time to offer this every Sunday. We offer this time for prayer. You need prayer for anything? You need prayed for? You need prayer for something in your life? You need prayer for something in someone else's life? You just need prayer and don't know what you need it for. God's in the business of taking care of people. That's what He does. And He loves each and every one of you so much, He doesn't want to let you go. As you sing this song,